Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to this Saturday afternoon broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at Dryden Road, just across the street from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call there at the range at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related needs or interests, whether it be basic training in the handling and operation of a firearm or the concealed carry class. We'd be more than glad to give you information to see if we can get you down to the range and do any of that, the things that you might need. In addition, we offer recreational shooting. If you're thinking about a firearm and you're up in the air as to which one you want, we have a try it before you buy it program that has most of the most popular manufacturers' firearms included in the program, whereby you come down the range for $10 rental fee and the cost of a box of ammunition, you can shoot that gun to see if that is the gun you want to buy. And we have many of those guns also in stock for a situation where you can shoot it and purchase it and walk away from the range with a brand new gun if that's what you'd like to do once you've completed the required paperwork. If you'd like to get on the show today, you can give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you in the queue to answer any questions you might have. We've devoted today's show to a follow-up or an extension of the show we had last month when we were talking about insurance. And we have a representative from the Ohio-based Second Call Defense Company with us today is attorney Sean Maloney. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
And the reason we asked Sean to come is the last show we hadn't made the connection just due to the logistics of getting things together. And we had Marty Hayes from the Armed Citizens Network, and we had an attorney from Columbus on the air, and we were talking about a variety of issues. And then Tony Cali, one of our show hosts from the local insurance company. We talked about insurance all the way from the standpoint of, you know, what happens if you have a gun stolen in your house, all the way through to what happens when you're involved in a self-defense situation. And that is where Second Call comes into play. Sean, if you would, take a couple minutes to explain to our audience the genesis of Second Call.
Second Call Defense was created primarily with a person who was forced to use a firearm in self-defense. Whether you're a concealed carry holder or it was something heavy at your home, I realized the need as a criminal defense attorney and someone who really had focused my practice on personal defense that I realized that we needed that. For instance, I ask people all the time, who has $10,000 cash in their nightstand for bond? If you're arrested, who do you call? If you need that attorney immediately, who do you call? And I, as an attorney and a criminal defense attorney for over 23 years, asked many of those same questions. I'm on vacation. I'm three or four states away. Who do I call? And so the impetus of this was provide somebody with one phone number to take care of all your needs should you be forced to use a firearm in self-defense. Because remember, if you've taken a life, it's a homicide. And the investigation starts, and there will be an investigation as to what happened as well there should be. And we provide for the needs after that case, whether it's immediate bond money, whether it's attorney referral, and then money for retainer fee, and then psychological help. Nobody knows how we're going to react psychologically after a shooting like that. I've been in many crime scenes, and a lot of them are horrific. And to have to try to live through that day by day, you may need help, and we provide that also.
Obviously, very comprehensive coverage. And Sean, I want to mention to our listeners, as a retired law enforcement officer, I know that the criminal justice system can be intimidating to people, especially law-abiding citizens who have had no exposure other than possibly a very low-level traffic ticket, you know, sometime in their life, and it may have been years ago. So it can be pretty daunting an experience for people. Can you just take us through, in a very general sense, maybe a case that you're aware of, what happens from the instant that a person's involved in a self-defense shooting, whether or not they have to use their gun? You mentioned earlier when we were talking before the show started about brandishing the gun, even a case where they don't use it, but it's produced and it's involved in an altercation of some sort. What happens to people in those kinds of situations?
I can take it from the brandishing that we talked about. There wasn't a 911 call made at that time. In fact, the gentleman who ended up being my client was so close to the police department, he decided he would drive there and tell them what happened. Well, who ultimately was the true bad guy, he made the 911 call and said that everything that he did, my client did. as my client rolled up to the police station, put it in park, and jumped out of the car, he was surrounded by the Fairfield City Police Department because they just received a phone call that my client had brandished. Well, he did brandish, but for the proper purposes. At that point in time, it was a Friday night. He was arrested for felonious assault. Charges certainly didn't rise to the level of felonious assault, but that's what he was charged with, and that's what we live with at that point in time.
For those of us who aren't attorneys, what does rise to the level of felonious assault?
Felonious assault is an assault so bad that it may end up in a death or serious bodily injury, essentially would be the felonious assault, something so bad that it would rise to that level. Certainly, taking a firearm out of its holster and screaming, "My God, please stop, don't," doesn't rise to that level, and that was the evidence in this case.
And just for our listeners, when you talked about brandishing, that's a legal term, but that means what?
You displayed a firearm.
Okay.
And said, you know, stop.
Does that necessarily mean it came out of the holster, or could it just be if you pulled your shirt back or your jacket back, whatever your cover garment was, and say, "Leave me alone, I've got a firearm"?
That's a good question. It could be either.
Okay.
So, but in this case, he took it out of its holster and said, "Please stop, don't." Well, so now we're on a Friday evening when there's no courts around, and he's been arrested for a felonious assault. He's been charged, and now he has his wife, a young wife with three small children at home, are faced with trying to find $10,000, 10% cash bond, so he doesn't have to spend Friday night until Monday morning in jail. Well, they never came up with that money. And going door to door with her to try to collect this money, you know, it was a very, very sad, emotional experience for a young wife with three small children, not knowing what's going on. Because like you said, as a police officer and as an attorney, I'm involved with police all the time. I know what goes on. It's not a shock to my system. But never having gone through any of this, and all of a sudden the cuffs are put on you, and now you're actually in a county jail, you can imagine what kind of fear and emotion that stirs. And that's really one of the main reasons and needs that I saw and why I contacted George Lang, one of my partners, and said, "Hey, we have to do something." And this was being developed for 3 years. It took us a total of 3 years to develop it, to make sure we did it, and we did it right, because I wanted something that could provide immediate assistance. There's a lot of people out there that can take care of you after you're dismissed, but in my mind, that's too late. And that's already out there. I wanted something that could immediately from the start, whether it was from bond, whether it's a phone call, "Hey, I need your help. This is what happened. Okay, calm down. Remember your constitutional rights."
Never miss a good opportunity to shut up, maybe?
Exactly. And I provide training. There was a case last year, Salinas versus Texas. It changed the way that you and I have to invoke our Fifth Amendment rights to remain silent. We just can't.
Not say something.
Yeah. It used to be Justice Jackson gave the best advice that I had given out to many people. It was one of the few times that you can tell somebody to shut up, and they have to shut up. Well, in Salinas' case, the Supreme Court of the United States decided no. In a non-custodial interrogation or an interrogation like this, just silence alone isn't enough. You have to affirmatively say, "I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment rights," or something like that, or that silence can be used against us. So there's a lot of things that we don't realize. Immediate training on the purpose of the 911 call, for example. What's the purpose? The purpose of the 911 call is to summon help, period. Not to say, "Oh my God, I wish I hadn't done this." Not to try to plead your case on the phone. Everything's being recorded. You've had an adrenaline dump. You've had tunnel vision. You're not in any situation to be making any statements, and now you're going to be questioned. So just shut up. Inform them that you're in fear for your life. There's been a shooting. I live at my address. Please send an ambulance and help. I'm 6'2", bald, I'll be in boxer shorts and a t-shirt in the driveway. The area is secure. Boom, I hang up. I have nothing else to say.
You know, the name of the company, Second Call, I know the origin. You recommend the first 911 call given the essential information that you just described. And the second call obviously is going to be to your organization. And you have a network of attorneys in place that, depending on where this is, you'll be able to somehow, may not be in an immediate fashion, but in a fairly expeditious manner, be able to contact someone who can get in contact with the suspect who's been, or the accused who's been detained and is, you know, being charged with a crime where they're going to have to post bond and they're going to need legal defense. Is that one of the major advantages?
Yeah, immediately when you make that phone call after 911, call Second Call Defense. There will be a 24-hour attorney there available to answer the questions wherever you are. That attorney is not going to be offering advice at that time. It's going to be the same constitution. "Hey, calm down, some four-step breathing. What happened?" and make sure that, you know, and to walk them along to invoke our Fifth Amendment rights. Because I always tell people, there's nothing that can be said right now that can't be said 5 days later. And never apologize to me because you invoke your constitutional rights. You better apologize to me if you didn't, and I have to dig you out of a hole, but never apologize for that fact. So immediately after the 911 call, you call us. An attorney is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Doesn't matter if it's a holiday. And they'll talk you through the next portion of what's going to happen when the police arrive. And then after that, based on that information, if you're arrested, bonds arranged for. If you're not, but there's an investigation, and obviously you need an attorney. If something like that happens, you don't wait for a grand jury. Then we'll provide you with a list of competent attorneys wherever you are located. Again, I practice out of Cincinnati, so having me on retainer does you no good when you're in vacation New Mexico. Right. We'll get you the best wherever you are, and that's probably one of the best features that we have for everybody.
Good. What is your experience as an attorney from either personal experience or hearing from clients as to law enforcement's reaction when an individual invokes their Fifth Amendment right in cases like we're talking about, where they're righteous and they just decide, look, I'm going to cooperate with you, but I'm not going to do anything until I talk with my attorney?
At times, it's been frustrating to a police officer, and I can understand it also. But at the same time, they realize that they have a right to do that. And they also realize that, hey, if I'm in that situation, that's what I'm going to do also. And you can't talk to a police officer that's going to tell you anything different. In fact, they are instructed that they say nothing. There was a recent memo that was circulating in Dallas-Fort Worth area. There had been a shooting probably 5 or 6 months ago now. And a memo came out that you don't say anything. Well, there's an uproar. Well, no, there shouldn't be an uproar because we're not in the physical or mental condition to be making any statements. And so the police, for the most part, have been very responsive to clients I've had. In fact, they've handed phone to clients, whether it's on the side of the road or wherever it is, and I say, officer, you understand that my client has nothing to say? And they say, yes, absolutely. We won't violate his rights.
I think what you made is a really excellent point, and it's something that we try to bring out in our concealed carry class, is that you're not in a mental condition to be making any statement until your brain has had a chance to process what just happened. You may not even realize all of the details. Even if you tried to make an accurate statement, your chances of doing so at that moment are pretty slim.
You're 100% right, and people just don't understand it or realize. Sometimes it's up to 5 or 6 or 7 days, and for some people it never comes back. You've had the rush of adrenaline in that dump. You've had tunnel vision. You have no idea. You're missing bits and pieces of what's going on. And really, the best advice you can give somebody is you're not in condition to be making any statements.
Sean, before we go to our first break, people listening on the line right now want to get some information. What's the website they can go to?
www.secondcalldefense.org. That's probably going to screw you up. .org. Second Call Defense, written out, .org.
And we'll get that on our Facebook page right away, and then also on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. We do need to take our first break for the hour. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you in on this discussion with our guest, Sean Maloney. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. And again, listeners, if you'd like to get in on the show today, you can give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. I want to remind our listeners that due to the tremendous success we had in our inventory reduction sale a couple weeks ago, we've extended the sale pricing and the availability of product through the end of August. For anybody that's interested, you can go to our website and get and download a copy of that flyer. Or if you've already gotten it in our email, remember, we will extend those prices. Some great savings on a variety of firearms, and just one thing to remember, Springfield Armory is offering 3 free magazines and a magazine pouch for any Springfield gun purchase. That's an XD, XDS, XDM, or 1911 configuration, and that's a savings or a realization of about $120 added value to your initial purchase. We're also offering a free box of ammunition to any handgun purchased, a free brick of 22 to any 22 rifle or pistol purchased, and we have a couple of great deals with any AR platform that you purchase. You get a 120-round box of ammunition and an extra magazine. So we've had numerous people in the last 3 days. Matter of fact, I got called into service the last 2 days because we have people that wanted those. And so there's still some great deals available, and I encourage you to take a look at those, the sale flyer, or stop down the range and talk to Mark or any of our staff members and see if there's something we can help you out with. The guest in the studio today is Sean Maloney, who's an attorney and one of the founding persons involved in Second Call Defense. Second Call Defense is a insurance-based entity that, as we talked about in the first part of the show. We'll help you out in bad situations when you're feeling uncomfortable and just have no clue what to do. And one of the things that is so valuable, the name of the company, Second Call, is significant because your first call is to 911, where you give the basic information involving the fact that you were involved in a shooting where a bad guy tried to put you in a situation where you feared for your life. You give general description, you give the address you're at, and you tell them you want police and medical personnel to respond. And then your second call is to Second Call Defense, where you will get 24-hour access to an attorney. Sean, we talked several times over the last show a few weeks back when we had representatives from some of the other organizations. People haven't thought about insurance in this area. They went out and they got their training. Some of them train on a regular basis. Some of them have gone to see Lieutenant Colonel Grossman. We talk about mental preparation for armed confrontation. So they're starting to build their toolkit, but I have found that this is often one element of the toolkit that is often overlooked, and it's an important element. Don't you feel the same way?
You're right. It is overlooked, and it was for many years because it didn't exist, or if it did, it didn't perform the way it needed to be.
Really, the only program that was available for a long time was the NRA-endorsed program through Lockton Risk, which I guess is also affiliated with you, but that was the only thing there was for many years.
Correct. They've been in existence for 19 years, but as an insurance-based product, they can't provide any coverage until after you're acquitted, no bill by the grand jury, or their charges that are dismissed. And then we took it a step further. First, we wanted all the benefits up front, and then we wanted something more than just the insurance benefits. You guys are the best at teaching people how to draw from concealment and how to fire and how to do things properly. I leave that to the best that's out there. I'm an NRA instructor, but what I wanted and what we wanted when we created Second Call Defense was the best service that was available to handle the legal ramifications of someone using a firearm in self-defense, threatening to use a firearm in self-defense, and everything that goes with it. And so along with the civil and the criminal benefits, we have the financial benefits of bond. We have benefits of emergency legal assistance for accidental shootings. We cover that also. Personal crisis manager, somebody to act as a liaison between us and your attorney. We provide also expert witness coordination. We'd rather have us do it for free so we don't have to spend your money on everything else to find an expert witness. That's hourly money that's going out the door. We'll take care of that for you and your attorney if your attorney wants us to. We also provide gun replacement insurance and retrieval. If, for whatever reason, the court decides that they're not going to give your firearm back to you, and I've had judges and say, Mr. Maloney, we're going to order the gun destroyed. I said, Your Honor, you can't. He's been acquitted. If we have to sue to get it back, we'll do that. And then, for whatever reason, if we have to replace the firearm, we're going to immediately do that. And I make the statement to people, if you're involved in a self-defense shooting, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to take and bag and tag your firearm because that's now evidence. And oftentimes, you don't need a firearm until after you've used that firearm. And so you're going to have the ability to have that immediately and a lot more.
Sean, you're in a unique situation. You're a citizen of the state of Ohio. I imagine you have your CHL.
That's correct.
You're an NRA instructor. You teach basic pistol. You're an attorney that deals specifically with these issues. That's kind of a unique situation to be in because our society for the last 10 years, particularly the state of Ohio, we've been evolving in this process. Is that what you found too?
It's been an involvement, and I've also had the particular ability. I've been a leader of Buckeye Farms Association, so I've been involved with the legislature in getting these laws changed, and hopefully in the lame duck we're going to have a lot of good news coming out, and I promise you we will. So, but it has been an evolution, and I'm sure that all your listeners and you can realize that we've changed the society. We understand a little bit better, and believe it or not, we're not so much the bad guys anymore. And in fact, it's proven true that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is the good guy with a gun.
We need to take a break because we're going to head over to the news center with Daryl Bauer to get an update on what's going on in the area. But if you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up in the queue. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on News 95.7 WHIO.
Maloney from Second Call in the studio today. Focus of today's show. The focus of today's show is on insurance and insurance-related issues. But we'll take any of your calls, and if you have anything that you would like to discuss, we'll be more than glad to discuss any of your firearms-related interests or needs with you. Sean, on the break, we were talking about how Ohio has made progress over the last 10 years since the since concealed carry passed in 2004, and I'm of the opinion that we've made substantial progress in the last 10 years. We still have a ways to go, and what I'd like you to do is just maybe comment on your perception of that progress, and then what's one area you think we need to make more improvements in.
I think we've made a tremendous amount of progress. If you look at the 10th year anniversary of concealed carry in Ohio, we've taken a lot of strides. I think certainly all the sky is falling assertions that were made never came. And statistically, we can show that that we're the good person. In fact, statistically speaking, the concealed carry holder in America is the safest, most law-abiding segment of society. And we should all pat ourselves on the back for that. And because we always knew that we are law-abiding citizens and we are good people. And so the blood running in the streets and things like that never happened.
Shootouts over videotape. Late fees.
Correct. And
Does everybody remember what a videotape is anyway?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't amazing. I heard they pressed the last album last week, so.
Yeah.
And then when I think about what needs to be done, I guess everybody has their favorite or their hot button. Something that has always concerned me, and that's being worked on right now, I know Senator Yeager has been working on it, is to allow us to at least have our firearms in our cars in the parking lot carry, so to speak. All the states surrounding Ohio have it. We don't. And so essentially, if my employer tells me, you know, we have a no guns policy in our parking lot, in our building, so you can't bring your firearm to work. We're going to abide by that as law-abiding citizens, but when in fact what they have done, if they've deprived ourselves of our Second Amendment rights from the time we leave the house to go to work in the morning until we get back.
And that applies especially in the school situation, because in the K-12 school, you can't even have a firearm. There's that one exception,
right,
where if you're dropping off or picking up a child. But if you have a spouse that works at school, you can't even drop off your spouse while you're carrying, technically, according to the law.
Correct, and that's a problem. And the bigger problem is that we're felons if we unload and lock the gun up and then go into school because we have to walk our sick son or daughter out. And so that's still a problem. And things like that need to be fine-tuned. And I know that's being worked on also. So we should be pleasantly surprised when, hopefully, and I'm quite hopeful that the governor in lame duck session has promised that all the legislation that's out there, and there's a lot of it, is going to come through. But
at least needs to get voted on.
Right.
And, yeah, go through. Come on. Have the discussion. Deal with it.
You know, I'll happily discuss, provide information, and debate anybody. And then let the chips fall where they may. Well, but you're right. We need to just vote on it.
They don't want to have a fact-based discussion in many cases, unfortunately.
And that's the point I was going to make. They don't want it to be fact-based, because the nice thing about it, and you mentioned that all the things that the naysayers were predicting didn't happen. Then with some of the adjustments when they had the restaurant carry provision that was added, those naysayers, the things they said about, you know, people in the bars are going to start shooting the place up, that didn't happen. We pretty much rest on the truth and the facts, and we don't have to say a whole lot, whereas they have to go conjure stuff up and presuppose situations that never come to fruition, and yet they continue to jump on that bandwagon with the hopes that somehow they're going to get the emotional kind of the emotional cord of people to pass legislation and to stop some of the things we're talking about, whether it's national carry or expanding right to carry in parking lots or whatever it is. They simply rely on emotion. They have to conjure up their argument. We've disclosed ourselves the book that Mike Bloomberg and his cronies put together on the strategy for marketing the anti-gun agenda. They actually have a book that tells people, when you're going to promote anti-gun agendas, these are the things you need to say. These are the things this is how to say them. You need to rely on emotion. Forget about fact. They come right out and tell you. Some of the stuff's
don't
not going
to be
true. Don't
try to argue fact, because you'll lose.
That's exactly right. You got to go around the facts. So here's a way to go around the facts. There's a publication out there, and we've talked about it, and I know we'll we'll talk about it in the future, and it's just amazing how it's so great. I'm very satisfied with the fact that, even though we got a lot of work to do, we don't have to say a whole lot. We just have to spout the truth, and they got to go a lot of do end runs to come around to even attempt to throw up a smoke screen.
There's no question the facts are on our side.
Well, and that's what makes it good for us, is 100% the facts, the statistics, everything is on our side. And the only thing they have to rely on is emotion. And when the emotion doesn't incite, and when the emotion now is overcome by the common sense of the American public and by the realization of the American public that the truth is the exact opposite of what they're saying, they're stopped in their tracks.
We often refer people to the Uniform Crime Reports from the FBI. That's the authority on what has really happened in terms of crime. And that is a fact that, I mean, it completely dispels any of the myths regarding gun owners and the actual use of gun in crime. It's just, and then, of course, the Brady campaign and the Mike Bloombergs of the world don't want to hear that because it completely undercuts their argument.
And they just try to change their message. And lately, what they like to do is change their name. They change their name more than we change our shoes. And they do that because now maybe someone will listen to them because, you know, the Brady Bunch or Mirrors Against Illegal Guns, they've worn out their welcome, so we got to become something else.
Yeah, well, every town for gun safety. But if you look at their website, there's nothing on it about safety. They don't even list the four basic rules of firearm safety and how to safely handle a firearm. Because they're not interested in firearm safety. As far as they're concerned, the only safe firearm is one that has been destroyed.
They should be the biggest proponent of the NRA's Eddie the Eagle program there is.
And they fight it at every turn.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It should maybe be a few selected towns for gun seizure would be an appropriate title for their agenda. But let me switch gears back to the concept of insurance. And I've already talked with George and you about this, but we at SimTrainer have had relationships with the United States Concealed Carry Association since its founding, about the time we came into existence in 2004, and in recent years with the Armed Citizens Network, and now with Second Call. We're all above down talking anybody else because they've all got products that we can all benefit from. But I want you to tell our listeners why Second Call. My personal feeling is you're right here in Westchester, Ohio. For me, that's a huge plus. And what would you say to people who say, you know, I've been affiliated with these other organizations, they've got comparable products, but why Second Call over somebody else?
For a couple of reasons. The main reason is we have created Second Call Defense so that all the benefits can be provided immediately without waiting for the reimbursement from an insurance company. The foundation provides that immediately. And all the other services that we provide beyond insurance. How about emergency contact notification? If you're on your way to jail and you get one phone call, who are you going to call to take care of bond, to get you out of jail, to notify your wife, to contact an attorney? Well, we have that one phone number, and that's up front. We can compensate you for your time off from work. And all this stuff is immediate. And that's the important part is that it had to be something that was immediate. And then even beyond that, Second Call Defense was built from the ground up by pro-gun advocates, pro-gun right advocates, and criminal defense attorneys that are pro-gun attorneys. Everybody from myself, George Lang, to Jim Irvine, Buckeye Farms, we all had a hand in saying, how can we become the best service that we possibly can out there? If we couldn't be the best, because what we do is we try to be the best in everything, we didn't really want to exist. And I always point out that I'm never going to bash anybody else. Please get something, because I've seen the financial devastation that this causes on the family. I've seen the divorces that come about. I've seen the second mortgages, and I've seen the bankruptcies. And folks, you want the best criminal defense that you can get that money can buy. Unfortunately, at times in America, Lady Justice may be colorblind, but she's or maybe blindfolded, but she's not colorblind, and you have to have the money available to put on a good defense.
Well, our official stance at SimTrainer, we have very close relationships with Second Call, with Armed Citizen, and with USCCA, and I will just say with United States Concealed Carry Association, most of our affiliation and networking has to do more with the practical tactical. Tim has done a great job getting information out there about what people should do when they're involved in situations, how to carry, product reviews. He's a marketing genius. He's done a wonderful job. But even beyond that, the quality of the information he puts out there is superb. Marty at the Armed Citizens Network and Masad Ayoub, who's one of the preeminent expert attorneys or expert witnesses in the area of self-defense, both on the police and in civilians. You know, he's been around. He was and this is not meant to be an insult, he was old when I was young and new in police work, and he has endured the test of time and passed through all the transitions. The nice thing about him was he was actively involved in law enforcement when most of the major decisions relative to restrictions on force and that in the 60s and early 70s evolved, and a lot of the law today kind of hovers around some of those ideologies and philosophies that were developed way back then. So there's a long history, but what I want to make sure I have to kind of reiterate what Sean said here. You need to have something. And we are of the opinion, with the exception of Second Call, Armed Citizen, and USCCA, nobody else is putting themselves out on the table saying, we're going to do this, this, and this. Many of them will take your money, but they'll stand back and say, well, maybe, you know, we've got these things, but we're not putting it out there yet. We want to see how it evolves. Second Call, in particular, lays it out there. You've laid it out there. When I talk with George, the nice thing I like also, the website, one of the most valuable pieces of information is this two-page newsletter that you produced that says what to do after a self-defense shooting, which you get as new member to Second Call. They send this to you, and it's loaded with very basic, simple information that it's so simple, we don't know about it. The simple person doesn't know about it, but you need to read about it, and it's very critical. So I just have to, my hat's off to the organization, to the things you're doing. I know Jim Irvine and Buckeye Firearms Association, they're pioneers mm-hmm. too. You know, we're only 10 years into this process, and I think together we made great strides, and the next 10 years are going to be tremendous for us. I think in 2024, we're going to look back and say, wow, look how far we've come since 2014. Look how, you mentioned it earlier, Sean, look how we've changed the way people think about guns, about personal safety, about taking responsibility for their own safety and feeling good about it. I think that's another thing we forget to mention. I've had people all the time say, God, I hope I never have to use it. I say, no, that's the wrong attitude. If you're coming here to learn how to use a firearm, your attitude should be, I'm going to learn how to be so comfortable and confident with this gun. If I have to use it in a life or death situation, I'm going to feel relatively confident that I can save my life or someone else's life. Because I'm of the belief that if you say, God, I hope it never happens to me, you put yourself behind the power curve and set yourself up to fail.
I hope it never happens. But if it happens, I'd much rather it be me or someone who was properly prepared and trained and has the mental preparation to do what's necessary at that moment than somebody who gets caught completely off guard.
And it's always been my thought. I can remember all the interviews I did when we were discussing restaurant carry. And a news reporter said, so how would you feel if the people at the table besides you and your family were carrying firearms? I said, great. I said, I hope everybody in there is because I'm that much safer. And Jeff, to talk about what you did, our website is loaded with information that helps you about how do you handle the legal aspects of it. And you talk about the resources that we have. Dick Heller, who ended up being one of my best friends, and he's done more for our freedoms and liberty. He's one of our spokesmen, and he's also a recruiter for Second Call Defense. And it's just great having great people behind us. And from the 911 letter and how to handle that 911 call, to all the articles, to the 911 calls you can listen to. And I encourage people, get on YouTube and listen to the actual 911 calls. You have to, because that's how we practice. We read and we listen.
It's that you can't get too much information in preparation. We need to take our last break for the hour, Sean, but when we come back, if you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. We'll just have a few minutes left. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and we only have a few minutes left, so I just want to remind our listeners, if you want to take advantage of our inventory reduction sale down at the range, we are extending that due through the end of the month.
Yeah, one week left.
Yeah, only 1 week left. That's right. Boy, August is going fast. Football season starts next week.
Yeah, in fact, after this, we'll have one show before football season.
That's right. So if you want to take advantage of that, be sure to get down to the range and look at some of those great values and some of the free goods you can get with making a variety of different purchases. Today we have Sean Maloney from the Second Call Defense in the studio. And Sean, we only have a few minutes, and I'd just like you to take a minute or so and just what do you want to leave our listeners with relative to Second Call and how you can provide a very valuable service to them?
First of all, I want to congratulate and thank everybody, number one, for taking care of their own security and exercising their Second Amendment rights, whether they do that by talking to their neighbors or carrying on a daily basis or whenever they can, because it's so important to all of us. Trust me, it reduces crime, and we're all safer because of you out there. Also, I want to offer everybody who's listening to us a free month of Second Call Defense. If you get on our website and you enter the code SIM, S-I-M, we'll give you a free month. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to have the access to our members-only portions of the website, and I want you to see what's out there for you to offer that extra level of protection. I mean, it's important that we practice. It's important that we prepare for the worst and hope that it never happens. But if it does, you need to be prepared. And your preparation doesn't stop with pulling the trigger. For you...
Boy, this just getting started then.
It just starts because, like I said, when you shoot somebody in self-defense... It's a homicide. It's an intentional, knowing killing of another human being. There isn't a section of homicide that also has a little self-defense provision in there that says, but if you're shooting somebody in self-defense, you're all right. Unfortunately, the only person that's going to get the chance to hear that is the judge or the jury. And by then, it's too late and he went too far. So please take advantage of everything that's out there, from proper training. Make sure you follow the laws with concealed carry, because it affects us all. When someone does something wrong, each of us in this room, we're all taking a little shot, so to speak, because one of us isn't doing exactly right. So make sure you keep exercising your rights, you practice, and then if the worst comes, remember that it doesn't end when you stop the threat. Sometimes that just begins.
I want to just add that as a Second Call Defense member and supporter, they offer five levels of support, but we advocate that Defender, Protector, or Ultimate are probably one, the most comprehensive coverages. And I want you, when you go to their website at secondcalldefense.org, I want you to look at all of those, and I want you to look at your personal situation when you consider the dollar amounts in each of the different categories they offer. So don't just... just sign up for the sake of signing up, or look at the first thing. Please note that they have five levels, and then look at what each level covers and doesn't cover, and then you make a personal decision based on, just like you do with anything else. You know, in the state of Ohio, you have to have a minimum of, I think it's $10,000 and $30,000 car insurance. Well, most of us have hundreds of thousands of dollars of insurance because we know about the reality of situations, and we choose accordingly. Do the same when you're deciding this.
We want to be responsible about what we do.
Exactly.
So that's part of being responsible.
Exactly. So I want you to, you know, take – this is part of the total package. We mentioned so many times at Sim Trainer, you got to look at the total package, from mental preparation to selection of a firearm to competency in the training and use of the firearm to options for carry.
Regular practice.
Making sure you under the law, know the law, regular practice, making sure you have your insurance tucked away, and then you got to start thinking about scenarios. So this just contributes to the total package that we offer.
And if I might add, when you're looking at those top three levels also, for an additional $5, $6, or $7, you can cover your spouse. They get exactly the same coverage that you get. And I always tell my wife, you know, there's two of us, and it's just not me taking care of her or vice versa. We're taking care of each other. So make sure that that you take advantage of that. And then if anybody ever has any questions, my phone number is available on a website. Get a hold of these guys or go to Sim Trainer. My information's there. My cell phone's on 24 hours a day, guys. If you need something, that's why I went to law school. Give me a call.
Sean, thanks very much for being a guest today. I have put some of this information up on our Facebook page, and we will have this show posted on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, so you'll always be able to go back and get this information. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro. Thanks for being with us today on Shooting from the Hip. You're listening to News 95.7 WHIO.